Erev Shabbos, Parashas Vayetze, Tav Shin Samaches.
Sefer Bereishis, the Gemara Avodah Zarah, Daf Chaf Hei, calls it Sefer HaYosher, the Sefer of the Avos. And the Avos were called Yosharim, straight people. And Sefer Bereishis, therefore, is to teach us, for every dar, for every generation, how to be Yosher, and how to know how to behave Yosher and how to react in a Yosher way in every situation. Because the famous saying, which actually doesn't occur anywhere, but it's based on a Medrash Tanchuma, is Maisa Ovas Simla Banim. What took place in the lives of the Ovas HaKadoshim will take place always throughout history to Klal Yisrael. And the Sefer, the Ovas, Sefer Bereishis, is to teach us how to deal in every situation that we're faced with, certainly in Golus, but even in the good times. So in Parshas Vayetze, in Parshas Vayishlach, indeed we have Yaakov going into Golus. Vayetze Yaakov, mi Be'er Sheva. Yaakov goes out of sort of the comfort and the security of his father's house, and he goes off on his own. And in Parshas Vayetze, he's going to meet up with Lavan. In Parshas Vayishlach, he meets up with Esav. And these are two enemies that Klal Yisrael, the Yaakov, the Bnei Yaakov, Bnei Yisrael, always have to deal with in history. So, Parshas Vayetze is to give us an insight into Lavan. Who is Lavan? What is Lavan? And what are the challenges in a Lavan, in every Lavan, in every generation? The Haggadah already tells us, the Baal Haggadah tells us, Lavan bikesh laker es hakol. He also wanted to get rid of Klal Yisrael early on, before Klal Yisrael even started. Lavan was in cahoots with Besuel to stop the Shidduch of Yitzchak and Rivka, that there won't be any Klal Yisrael. But this is Lavan o'Arami. And we'll see his Ramos, what is his Ramos over here? And how he differs then than Esav. The truth is that one thing we can't escape is that Lavan is the Zayda of Klal Yisrael. Yaakov is the father of Klal Yisrael, but we have the father of Bnei Yisrael, the Shvatim, and we have two grandfathers, the paternal and the maternal. So Yitzchak Avinu on one side, but on the other side it's Lavan. So Lavan has to have something, and the Sfarim say that Lavan indeed has a tzad kedusha. He has a side of him, a part of him, which the Kedusha can be gleaned from and can be taken out from. And indeed, there's certain halachas. There's several gemaras and several midrashim which learn out halachas from Lavan. There's a gemara in Ksuba. We came across a gemara in Ksuba, Nun Zayin Amibayz, from what Lavan said, Teishev Anari Itanu Yomim Ayosar Achar Teilech. Let Rivka stay here, Yomim Ayosar. The Gemara figures out what's Yomim, what's Asar. Oh, from what Lavan said, we learn out halachas of how much Yomim is, how much Asar is. The Gemara says, Nikra Lanara Vanishal Alpia. Let's ask Rivka Vanishal Alpia. We'll ask her what she wants to do, Lavan said. Mikan, we see from here, Ein Masin Asa'ishal Midaita. You have to have Rishus from the woman before you have to have her consent to get married. This is a halacha learned out from Lavan himself. So, to learn that from Lavan, a Rasha, a Halacha, Elamai must be that there is an aspect of Kedusha in Lavan that he has that can be taken the side of Kedusha from him. Indeed, we mentioned in the past Eliezer. Eliezer was an Arur. And therefore, he wasn't able to be Mizdabik. Baruch Avram says, you can't be a good, your daughter can't be a good Shidduch for my Yitzchak because you're Arur and we're Baruch and the two cannot coexist. Chazal tell us that Eliezer did change to a Baruch. In the end, he did change. When was he given the status, the title of Baruch? That was when
he came to last week's Parsha, when Eliezer comes to Besuel and Lavan, and Lavan tells him, "Vayeme boy Baruch Hashem, come the one who's a Baruch." Chazal say at that moment when Lavan uttered those words from his mouth, Eliezer was switched from an Arur to a Baruch. So it takes a Lavan to switch Eliezer around. As you needed his, the plitas pe of loving, you needed that expression from Lavan to make Eliezer a baruch. So maybe we don't understand all of it, but certainly Lavan has this side of Kedusha. On the other hand, we know Lavan is not the tzaddik in the parasha. We know he is indeed the Ramai as we know him. But we have to see what his Ramos is. How is he what kind of a trickster he is, what kind of con artist he is, we see from the parasha. The Chazam Sefer was asked by a Talmud of his. Actually, it was not really such a question, but a Talmud, an old Talmud of his, wrote him a letter saying that he's in a community somewhere and he's having a lot of trouble from various people in his community. And he's writing this, he's talking about Jews, not non-Jews. And the Chazam Sefer writes to him a whole long letter back. It's very interesting. You see the Chuvas and Chelek Vav and the Chuvas Chazam Sefer Simen Nun Tes, and he sympathizes with the Talmud, and then he tells him. He says, "You remember the Adata. You remember when you and my yeshiva. You remember Esa Shemargal Bapumi Tamid. You remember what I always used to say: Ein Yaakov Shalo Yifka Enu Lavan. There's no good guy out there." There's no Yaakov that doesn't have troubles from a Lavan. Umaate Lavan shivgena bam Yaakov. But the Lavans don't have trouble. The Yaakovs are not giving tzaris to the Lavans. He says, Shemarze. He says, keep an eye on this and watch this carefully. Kihu emes ubachayna advarim. You'll see it's true. Vetir mamitim. You'll see how true they are. Uritzeini, why? What I mean to say? Kibris krusa. Kol tamen chachem vitzadik. Hamachuna, which is to be classified as Yaakov, Yeshlai Mitzirim Negda Yamachuna Lavan. Every Yaakov, every person who tries to do the right thing out there, every Talmud Chacham, every Tzaddik who's trying to do the right thing, L'Shem Shamayim, is going to be faced and fraught with a lot of Lavans who are going against him. The first time Yaakov meets Lavan, Lavan comes out. You read in the Torah in Perachot Tes, Pasuk Yud Gimel. Vahikas Shmei Lavan Hashem Yaakov and Achosa, and he hears even Yaakov is in town. He hears Yaakov is his nephew, his sister's son comes. Vayorot Sikrosa, he runs to greet him. Vayichabekloi, and he hugs him. Vayinashikloi, and he kisses him. Vayvayel Beisa. This is the essence of Lavan. Lavan means white, and Lavan tries to portray himself as I'm white, I'm pure. Right? What do we put on Yom Kippur? We wear a white kittel, we deck the Urun and the Bima with white, because that's a sign of purity, and that's Lavan. On the outside, he does have a Tzad Kedusha, and he puts it on the outside, showing, I'm the Lavan, I'm the pure one, I'm the sincere one, I'm coming to greet my guest, I'm coming to hug him, coming to kiss him. And Chazal tell us, what was his underlying motive over here? He says, Yaakov came. I remember when Yaakov's father's servant Eliezer came. He had camels of wealth. He says, must be Yaakov inherited something. I'm running out to greet him. Didn't find anything. So Rashi says, so he embraced him. Let me check his pockets. Didn't find anything. He even kissed him. He'll do anything, but only on the outside. He will only do it if he could show on the outside how he's pure. He'll never come out sort of letting down his heel, never come out openly. I'm a rami. Let me try to get your money. No. I'm embracing you. I'm embracing Yaakov. And why am I embracing him? To get his money. That's the loving. Yaakov knows this, and Yaakov's not a fool. And Yaakov's allowed to protect himself. Yaakov is never on the offensive, but he's on the defensive. Yaakov is allowed to protect himself. He already senses this rami here, and he says, what are my wages? What should my wages be? Yaakov says, I want to marry your daughter Rachel. And Rashi tells us, Evotcha sheva shanim, I will work for 7 years. Birachel bitcha hakatana. He specifies, as we say, as the lingo goes, that's all the T's, That's all the I's, caresses all the T's. He's not making any room for mistake over here. That's what Yaakov could do. He could protect himself. We know it didn't help. And Laban says, of course, no one else better to give them my daughters to you. And Yaakov works for 7 years. Vayim Yaakov alava now when Pasuk, Perchov Tes Pasuk, Chof Aleph, Vayim Yaakov alava havoes ishti. Now I'm ready to take my wages. My end of the deal, my condition was fulfilled. Kimolo Yomai, I worked these 7 years. Vavoyela. Vayes, save Laban as Kalashi Amokam, as Mishte, made against the Chasana. And lo and behold, it's Leah. So what does he say? What does Laban come up with an excuse of why he deceived Yaakov? Yaakov comes to Laban. Vayomer Laban, Pasuk Chafei, Ma Zeisa Sisali. Halei B'Rochel Avadati Imach. I worked for Rochel and you're giving me Leah. V'lomeri Misani, a good argument. A valid taina. It's a valid complaint that Yaakov has. Lomerim Yisani, why did you deceive me? Vayomer Laban. What does Laban say? Vayomer Laban. Lo ye'osa kein bimkeimenu lo se tzatziru lefnei ha'bechira. What Laban does every time, in the pasuk, what does the pasuk mean? He says, we don't do this in our place to give the younger one before the older one. Which is very nice. It's a nice thing. It's a nice practice. You know, oh, he only said it now. But what Laban does is every time he tries to shift that he's not the wrong one, Yaakov is the wrong one. Not only is he okay, and not only is he just and upright in his doing and his actions, but actually the other person is in the wrong. Yaakov is in the wrong. Lo yasa kein bim kameinu, the Mefarshim point out, and actually this idea comes from a sefer Mishpatei HaTorah, Al HaTorah, and says, Lo yasa bim kameinu, that he doesn't have to say bim kameinu. He should just say, that's not the right thing to do. It's not right to put the younger one before the older. No. Lo yasa bim kameinu. What he was insinuating over here is, Yaakov, I know in your place how they do things. You're the younger one, and you took the bechira from the older one. In our place, we don't do that. No. We don't do such things. This is our policy. This is our mahalach. This is Laban. He takes everything and twists it in a way that it's almost you can't find the wrong in it. You're trying to feel, where is it? You know, he has a facade. He has a Laban facade. You can't sort of pinpoint, how is he wrong? What are you going to say to such a taina? You heard you right. No. We don't do that in our place. This is the way we do things is the right way, the shalom dik way. Lo yaseh kein bim kameinu lo se tzatziru lefnei ha'bechira. And then he swindles Yaakov again, malish v'ozeis, work again another 7 years. And we'll point out one other place where this comes out. And we'll see how Yaakov deals with it. Because throughout this parasha, we see how Yaakov deals with it is, you could try to protect yourself, but in the end, Laban is always going to be the tzundel Yaakov. He's always going to be the shyster to try to get at Yaakov, and he'll look like the tzaddik and make Yaakov into the Rosh. And in the end, Yaakov has to have bitachin in the Rabbeinu Shleilam. He does what he does. He accepts everything the right Amun of bitachin would say. He accepts everything dealt to him from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and he doesn't lose out. In the end, he gets married. In the end, he has his shvatim. In the end, he gets his parnasa, even though Laban is trying to do everything to not make it. He's trying to make it difficult for Yaakov. You take this, shift him over there, move over here, take these sheep, these goats. In the end, we know everything goes in Yaakov's favor. In Yaakov's case, because he's such a tzaddik, it happened in the next Goloi. Maybe the Yaakov of future generations has to happen in the next Nister. But Yaakov doesn't lose out in the end. If Yaakov behaves like Yaakov, he doesn't lose out in the end. In Perek Lamed Aleph, towards the end of the parasha already, when Yaakov already has most of the Shvatim are born.
Why, if Laban switched Rachel and Leah on the night of the wedding, why did Leah allow it to happen? There were 7 years they were living basically in the same household. They knew the score. I shouldn't say why, just how did you let it happen?
Yeah, you're asking a side question here. Why did Leah allow herself
to be married when she knew that Yaakov had been promised Rachel?
Yeah. So you can ask the same question on Yaakov, right?
Yaakov was fooled.
Yeah, but the next morning he woke up and he saw it's Leah.
So it's a done deal.
It's a done deal. It's a parsha in the Torah of Gittin. Sorry, never had you in mind. Have a good day. Take a hike. Esav's waiting back home. You can marry him. He's still available. I'm marrying Rachel.
He could have had two wives.
He did in the end. He had four.
That's why he didn't divorce her.
Understand. But there's one thing we know is that they're talking about the Avos and the Emaos were Nevi'im. And they foresaw the future. And Leah knew that she's also to be a mother of Klal Yisrael, and she's also to marry Yaakov. She happened that the Parsha tells us she had to daven for that, she had to cry for many years for that, but in the end, she knew it was supposed to happen. And that Yaakov also knew that. Yaakov is allowed to come with a taina to love and why you did that. But in the end, how did that happen? How was it allowed to happen? It's min hashamayim. That's like anything in life. Anything in life. No one can do me harm unless HaKadosh Baruch Hu so decrees. He's wrong for doing that harm. He has to have his own cheshbon. But what happens to me is only min hashamayim. And both Yaakov and Leah understood they're working, as someone once described it, every situation. This person described it in terms of marriage. It's a triangle. And the husband and the wife are the two bottom ends of the triangle. And if it's done everything l'shem shamayim for the top, and if it's going up to the top of the triangle, then the triangle can be filled. And Yaakov didn't have any tightness because he knew that he's only doing l'shem shamayim. And that's in every situation. Okay. So in Perek Lamed Aleph, Yaakov, after all, the most of the Shvatim are born, HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells him it's time to leave. He's becoming too wealthy. Lavan's becoming upset at him. He's becoming frustrated. He's becoming jealous. Hashem says you should leave. So he calls Rachel and Leah out to the field. And he tells them that your father doesn't look like he's happy with me. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says it's time for me to go back. Are you ready to come with me? So they respond to Yaakov, Atan, Rachel, Leah, and Tamar. They said, what should we say here? Do we think we have any share in our father's portion? Do you think we have an inheritance from our father Lavan? He's disowned us a long time ago. He's treated us as strangers. He treated us as strangers. He sold us even to get more money. Rashi says even that afilu b'shashadar b'nei adam losis n'dunya l'b'naisav b'shas n'suin. Normally, the father of the kala would give a dowry. He didn't do that. He made you work 14 years for us to get it. So you see, we have no relationship with our father, Lavan. He estranged us already. He doesn't give us from monetary help. He's not treating us as daughters. We have no point in staying here. We're with you, Yaakov. We're ready to leave. Fine. So Yaakov makes up, he's going to leave, not going to tell Lavan. So he escapes stealthily and without letting Lavan know. What happens? Lavan finds out that Yaakov picked up with all of his family and his wealth and escaped. So Lavan chases after Yaakov. But what does Lavan say? Lavan says, Pasik Chavav in Perek Lamed Aleph. Vayomer Lavan LeYaakov finally catches up to him. Vayomer Lavan Yaakov, Me Osisa, what did you do? How could you do this? Vatigne Veslavavi, he says, you mamish deceived me. Vatineges Benoisai Kishvuyas, you took my daughters away as if like captives of the sword. My daughters that I'm so close with, that I have such a wonderful relationship. Malomarach Beisilavroyach, you ran away, vatigna vaisi, valaigadatili, and I vashalechacha besimcha, vashirim, besaif, uvachina. Had you told me, I would have mamish given me a whole entourage, I would have mamish danced and singed you out when you're leaving, we were so close over these 20 years. You just ran away like that. What did you say to such a person? What are you supposed to say? No, you wouldn't have, you hate us, you did. What do you say? He doesn't say, This is Lavan again. On the outside, I'm mamish the tzaddik. How could you do this to me? I'm mamish. I want to embrace you. I want to love you. I wanted to kiss my children and my grandchildren goodbye. We're so close. You're so close. The Rachel and Leah themselves said that we have nothing to do with him. He treats us as strangers. And this is love. And he comes back. I can't believe that you do this to me. I'm the tzaddik and you're the Rasha. This is love. So one thing that we have to know from this parasha is that, as the Chassam Sefer says, every Yaakov has a Lavan out there. And this is how Lavan tries to pull the fast one over us. This is how he tries to be the swindler, the Ramay that he is. So as Yaakov, the Yaakov could try to protect himself as best he could. And there's a second thing from Yaakov we learn from actually the beginning of next week's parasha. But an interesting thing of how Yaakov dealt with Lavan, because the Torah tells us, Im Lavan Garti Vo'echar Ad Ota. Rashi says, Im Lavan Garti, he tells us, if I live with Lavan, V'tayag Mitzvah Shamarta V'loy Lumadati Me'asmi Ma'isavarayim. Rashi points out, and as Yaakov was saying, he pointed out, I didn't learn from Lavan. There's a way to that. There's a way not to learn from Lavan, and without using that way, even a Yaakov Avinu could learn from the bad ways of Lavan. And Yaakov has to know how to protect himself from Lavan, not to learn from this Lavan. So there was a darshan in the Yerushalmi darshan who once came to the Briska Rav and said, the pasuk in next week's parsha says, "Koy amar v'kol Yaakov, Lavan garti, I live with Lavan and didn't learn from his ways." And I have a lot of shara and chamor. So you want to know what's the connection? What's the connection? I was with Lavan and I have shara and chamor. I have oxen and donkeys. What is the shaykes? What's the connection to these two? So he suggested to the Briska Rav, the Pshat is Azai. I was with Lavan, and it was to me, my relationship to Lavan was like a shor and a chamor. In other words, you have to have pity on the shor and a chamor, you have to treat them nicely, you can't harm them, tzar b'alei chayim. But one doesn't have a sense of a relationship with shor and a chamor. There's no connection, there's no human connection between the shor and a chamor. Even though you're nice to it, even though you have to treat it nicely, even though you have to feed it, you have to pet it, yeah. But that's the relationship Yaakov says I had with Lavan. He was like a shor and a chamor to me. You say hello, and you treat it, and you pet it, and you feed it. But more than that, there's no relationship. So it was said the Briska Rav told his children, it's emes la'amita. It's not pshat in the pasuk at all. Don't think it's pshat in the pasuk. But it's an emes you say. So then he said, the way Yaakov has to deal with Lavan is this way. That there has to be cordial, respectful, nice, but in order not to learn from these devious ways of Lavan, one has to keep a barrier. One has to keep a sense of a distance. That Vayihili is only a Shavra Chamar. And that way, Yaakov is only not only protected himself, but Yaakov protected himself from learning from the ways of Lavan. Okay.